Hello, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live. My name is Rodney DeBulsi. I'm joined by Dane Young and Jim Donnan. Coach Donnan, of course, is the former Georgia Bulldogs head coach, and we love having him on the show to talk Georgia Bulldogs football. Hell, we asked him about basketball. We'll talk to him about baseball. We'll talk to him about anything because he's got a great opinion and a great insight and analysis on all things, and we appreciate all of you tuning in to hear what Coach Donnan had to say on a Wednesday. Now, normally we wouldn't do this on a Wednesday. We would do it on Tuesday at noon, but yesterday at noon, Kirby Smart was talking to the media, and back-to-back weeks where he's had a very informative press conference. A lot of good stuff in there. I suggest if you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook to go find our upload of it and check it out. He was asked a little bit about the quarterbacks, and I kind of want to start there, Coach, because of all the questions, the big question he got yesterday, or the one that he kind of disagreed with, there was a narrative about his defensive line. He's like, I don't know where that's coming from. I wouldn't trade this defensive group for any other in the country, which I thought was a nice vote of confidence. But he was asked about quarterbacks, and I asked him about Gunnar Stockton to see how he's doing, you know. But I liken the year two quarterback to the year two running backs after an ACL injury. You saw how, you know, Nick Chubb looked so much better in year two. He came back after his ACL surgery, was okay in year one. Year two, he was back to Nick Chubb again. We've seen that with a lot of top guys. We hope to see that with Andrew Paul. But I think back to Stetson Bennett's year one, where he's kind of going back and forth with JT Daniels, and then he's the starter, comes out and has an okay year. But year two, he takes him to a national title, undefeated season. Carson Beck, in year one, goes 13-1, sets the single-season completion record, can't get much better. But year two, he seems even more confident, even more poised. We heard from people that went to the scrimmage are like, this kid is in control. And I'm thinking, that year two as the unquestioned starter or healthy guy, you know, talking about ACLs, I think this could just be a stellar year for Carson Beck. And going into what's a very tough road schedule, I'm kind of excited about what he could do. So give me your thoughts on him and then maybe a little bit on Gunnar Stockton, if you would.
Well, the first part for Carson is last spring, you know, he was trying to establish himself. I mean, he had two guys breathing down his neck and really throughout the summer. And he went on into fall camp with things up in the air. And then, you know, he solidified the job. And then from that point on, particularly from the Auburn game, I thought he just really started to flourish. But from a confidence standpoint, knowing that you've done it in the heat of battle and you've got the support of the coaches, you know, everybody knows you got the support of coaches, but once you name the guy, it just makes a lot of difference as compared to when it's still a little bit up in the air. So I think that he's got that going for him. Plus, he's got a really good supporting cast, and he knows that, you know, how to react to Coach Bobo, having been around him for 1 year compared to being around, you know, Munkin for a couple years. So I think all of that blends into a really good stream of positivity that should, you know, you got to feel like with his arm and his football acumen, and he has a good enough mobility in the pocket to avoid the sacks. I just feel like certainly he's got to be among the better players in the country at that position. As far as Gunnar, you know, we've talked about it many times. His dad was a coach, a player. His dad's a coach. He's been around the game a long time. He's a very, very competitive guy that loves to play.
Yeah,
he's a he's more than just an athletic quarterback. He's got a good arm, and he's knows where to go with it. So I feel good about his not only potential, but where he's going as far as how he's handled all this. And then, of course, Pugliski, I feel like what I've seen of him, he has a tremendous future just because you just don't have that kind of arm strength going down the street very often. I mean, an elite arm. I'm talking about among the better arms that have been here, and maybe not Carson yet, but he's only 18 years old. So I feel like quarterback's a good situation. And always as a quarterback and a quarterback coach, one of the things I always try to do is communicate with your guy and say, hey, what do you like? What do you feel good about? How do you feel about these guys as compared to the other guy throwing a play that you got to win the game on or whatever it might be? And you'd be surprised what you can get back from them, because it doesn't matter what you like or what you believe in and everything. In the end, your quarterback's got to be able to do it when the band's playing. And if he feels good about the system and the game plan, it just has a better chance of interacting during the game itself. I remember seeing on the NFL Network a few years ago, they showed the Saturday night meeting that Drew Brees had with his quarterback coach, and then the next morning with the head coach, Sean Payton, who was calling the plays. And they were going over, hey, what do you like here? What do you like here? Blah, 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 blah. And pretty evident that what he liked is what they were going to do, because he knew the offense, but he also had a good if you're going all up to a play thinking about what's going to be right about it and as compared to I just don't feel good about it, then it's a lot of difference in that. But and I don't want the fans and the listeners to think that Coach Bobo, Coach Smart are going to do exactly what the quarterbacks or linebackers want to do. But it's a good – we're all in it together. You know, it's a team deal. And some kids just feel more comfortable doing certain things than they do others. And your quarterback, that's what you got to do. I mean, whatever he can feel like he can handle.
Yeah, to your question about what he can handle and kind of what he's comfortable with, Kirby Smart did actually say yesterday that there are some guys he's comfortable with, and as we're going through spring, we're getting him more comfortable with the other new wide receivers, the other new options, so he's working through that. The question kind of gets its genesis. The reason I pitch it to you is from this one, from the question on the dog print from D.W. Burnett. We appreciate it. He says, having Carson come back this year, especially considering the schedule on the road, is a big win for the team. Absolutely. Biggest win of the recruiting system. He says, however, no matter how good you are, there's always room for improvement. So being a QB coach, which you were, and QB yourself, what part of his game would you be stressing on him to improve before his final year at Georgia? So he's comfortable. He's happy. He's got a good rapport with coaches, Mike Bobo. But during this spring practice, what are they saying? Carson, this is what we want you to improve on. And we asked him that, and he gave us a football answer. I want your answer, Coach.
I think first and foremost, and certainly that's a good question, is the fact that sometimes you see too much because you're so ingrained in knowing what to do. You're looking for too much. I'm not saying this necessarily about Carson, but
no, I got you.
Just in general, is the fact that it is what it is. You know, no makeup, something. Hey, they're trying to screw me. They're running this look, but they're really going to do this. Hey, always say this. Estimate the defensive intent. What can they do from how they line up? Sure, they can maybe do a couple things, but a guy lined up on a line of scrimmage isn't going to be able to bail and go back and play too many coverages. He's going to have to either press you and play man under, or press you and play zone, or bail, and that's about it. As compared to a corner that's off the line about 5 or 6 yards, he can move up, move back, do all that. So don't let it get too much in your head that you're worried so much about what they're doing that you're not taking care of what you can do, because you got no control of what they're doing. I mean, they're going to either do it or they're not. So estimate the defensive intent, read your keys, and play the percentages. What's the percentage here? My percentage of throwing a deep ball against a corner that's ahead of my wide receiver when I get ready to hit my fifth step, not good. So I'm going to throw back shoulder or whatever it might be. But so first of all, don't make something up to try to show how slick you are. Take the obvious. Take what they give you and then go from there. The other thing is.
Yeah, you are Kirby Smart's mentor, man. I could do that. That was Kirby Smartism. Take the percentages.
He doesn't listen to me anymore. I mean, he's nice to me, but he knows what he's doing. Yeah. So here's the deal. So also use your tools in your toolbox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got a big gun arm. You got a really good grasp of what to use and when to use it. So when do you take a shot? Is it second two and we got a run called and we've been having trouble making a first down, going to get the first down. But, you know, we've been moving the ball at will and, hey, let's go ahead. We can make third and two. So all that's in your thinking process as you're working with the quarterback coach and the coordinator of they're going to school you on when to use stuff. But a lot of times you know more than maybe you should, and you're, again, trying to do too much. So I would say take what they give you, play within the system, and utilize your skill set, which his skill set is throw the ball into traffic. I mean, he feels good about that. And we've said this for the few years I've been on here. Hey, Brett Favre led the NFL in interceptions because he wasn't afraid to throw the ball in a tight window. And if you're going to be a good passer, you got to eliminate as many of those as you can interception-wise. But you got to – you know, the guy's not going to be wide-ass open every time now. You got to – excuse me. I mean, not going to be wide open every time. So
– Well, there is a difference in wide open and wide-ass open. We all know the difference.
Right. So
hey, take your shots. I get you. That's a great way of working now.
And we had – there's nothing against blind people. But we had what we call a Ray Charles read. I mean, he's so open that Ray Charles could see him, go ahead and throw it to him. You know what I mean? Percentage-wise. But and that was just – that wasn't anything against blind people. It was just –
No, it's
– it's synonymous with anybody would take that. You know, he's so wide open. But there's also times when it's third and four and he's so open – but you got an easy run to make the first down. A lot of things can happen. The ball could get tipped. Guy could drop it. You could throw it behind him. You could throw it in the dirt like Bo Nix did several times on third and four against us.
Good point.
So, nothing against Bo either, but, you know, he's had a few of those. But here's the point. The fact that we were committed to Carson, regardless of what we had to do to keep him, and that's none of my business, but – whatever, it was a good investment because it lets him be a higher draft choice than he would be. Plus, he's going to be a quarterback to take a team on the road to play three of the top 10 teams in the country. So I feel like we've said enough about that. But
I want to move on to some of the newer guys. And again, I'm not always trying to focus on the next QB up. It's just I was looking at this schedule and next year's schedule and thinking the difference we will feel, even though you get all those teams at home, how it's going to feel with Gunnar Stockton or Ryan Puglisi as your head guy versus how comfortable you feel. We're going to talk about playoffs after our first break. You know, you just feel like, hey, this is a playoff team. This is a national championship team because you got your quarterback. I mean, if it was a new guy, that's all we would be talking about. So we're comfortable with it. So we just kind of gloss over it. But the reason I brought it up was the question on the board, plus everything we're hearing about his how comfortable he is in year two. I'm like, man, this is starting to get that special feel like it did when Stetson Bennett took him the whole way. But,
Good point. But here's the thing, too. He should be feeling good. He should be. People are starving for any kind of info about anything. And if he didn't look poised and confident out there, after playing 14 games, then you probably need to go check your pulse. So, yeah. But, you know, it's just, to me, it's kind of a general feeling that everybody, well, man, he looks good out there. He looks poised and confident. At least should look good.
I'm just saying that.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's nothing to do with what you're – I'm just saying – it's an easy fit to say, well, Carson Beck looks good, or, the receivers are so much better. because they've been here for a year.
True, but I mean, he looked a lot more comfortable than last year. Like you said, he was fighting with two guys to get the job last year. This year, he's very comfortable.
I have a quick coaching.
You saw him doing that, and when you were out there, he looked comfortable to you.
Oh yeah, I was up, you know, with my big binoculars on, looked fantastic.
I have one coaching organizational question on this, Coach, and it's Georgia. One of the luxuries of being a quarterback on a roster this talented is you don't make a whole lot of fourth quarter comebacks. And so that's just, I think Carson Beck has proven that he can bring Georgia back, Auburn, South Carolina last year. But you don't want to have someone that's a front runner that when you have to have plays that they can't make those plays when things get off schedule. What do you do in a practice to simulate when a quarterback has to really make those plays in a very short amount of time?
Ooh. Well, for the people here that don't listen to our show or watch it, I'm just going to reiterate this one thing. Every day that they go out there at the University of Georgia is a conference game. You're going against the better defensive play. I'm talking offense first. You're going against a better defense than maybe probably nine. I mean, there might be one or two defenses you play against all year as good as what you're going against. So you better be able to perform against those guys if you're going to do it in the fourth quarter against a championship level team. So, and I don't necessarily agree with some things, but it's a proven deal. I always like for the quarterback to get some confidence and give him some generic looks out there early, you know, where the defense is not playing but one or two coverages, you're not bringing a lot of pressure, you're doing all that. Hey, our defense gives the quarterback, whether you're first team or fourth team, there's no Moss, no Murray, no mercy. They bring everything but the kitchen sink, and if you can't handle it, then you probably aren't going to handle it when the band's playing. And I think maybe that's what happened to Carson the week that he didn't get the job. Things just didn't work out for him as good. And it wasn't necessarily his fault as much as what Stetson was doing that week against UAB. But that's the point for the good question you asked, is our defense stresses you. Our head coach stresses you. He doesn't feel bad talking about getting on a quarterback. He doesn't feel good. I mean, bad getting on a corner. Whatever it might be, he's going to make you better than you are just because that's the expectancy level. And not bragging about it here. It's just the reality is that you just do – it's challenging to make you better all the time. And I felt like we did a little bit of that when I was here because we used to swallow our – just be hold on to everything you had on Tuesday and go – live goal line and go live third down just to know that we were playing against some good teams and we didn't have enough depth to go against, you know, our scout team and feel like we got enough. So, but they do that every day here. I mean, they don't worry about it. Just come see, come saw. I mean, this is a Doris Day of college football. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. The future's not mine to see. Okay, sirrah, sirrah.
I don't think Kirby just lets it be. He's hammering tongs him into being that way. Well, speaking of which, we're talking about quarterbacks. We're talking about how practice goes. Georgia, let's see, in 27 hours from now, Georgia might have a new quarterback commit. Kid named Matt Zollers. Talented arm, big kid.
Is it Zollers or Zollers?
But it's Z-O-L-L-E-R-S. So I was going Zollers.
Like, all right. No Z-O-E. It's Z-O-L-L-E-R-S. Zollers. Okay. So, I'm learning like dollars. Hey.
Yeah. So this kid visited yesterday, and we spoke to him after the visit. And it just seems odd because, like, with Jared Curtis, the huge kid in the 2026 class with the Matt Stafford-like arm, an elite quarterback commit, comes to Georgia. He's a sophomore. He commits early. After telling us he wasn't going to commit for like a year, he pulls the trigger, commits to Georgia. Georgia gets its sophomore quarterback commit. First commit for 2026. He will build the entire recruiting class around him. We had a story today about how it went down. He's like, look, I've been to Georgia a lot. It feels like home. I just felt it in my bones. I talked to Kirby. I pulled the trigger, committed. It's a great story. Read it on UGASports.com. You got to get really excited about him. But again, he's a sophomore. He's still got two more years of high school. The rising senior is Matt Zollers. This kid is going to announce tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Now, he's only visited Georgia twice. One of those visits was yesterday. And when he left and we asked him how to go, you know, he's like, they do it differently at Georgia than anywhere else. He hadn't seen a practice. He hadn't seen kind of the schedule, the day-to-day, how Georgia does things. And I was thinking Georgia didn't have much of a chance. He's looking at Penn State and some other schools, you know, and I'm like, this kid kind of sounds like a Penn State guy. But the way he talked about Georgia and after seeing it, he's like, nobody does it like they do. To your point, Coach, you're talking about how Kirby stresses you and how you are thrown into that fire every day against such a good defense. If this kid picks Georgia tomorrow, I'm not going to be surprised. I would be surprised with only two visits. I would be like, what? Really?
Yeah, well,
yesterday was big. Yesterday was very big.
Sometimes you go out to buy a suit, you go in the first place, and they got what you like. Sometimes you go in there, it takes four or five places to look at. You know, I used to talk to recruits about that. Look, hey, check out as many places you want, but don't be holding out looking for something if you know you got what you want. So, definitely, that would be huge to get a guy. I mean, I've seen the guy on tape. He looks good. I mean, I know Coach Bobo went up there over Christmas when he was playing basketball and watched him throw, I think. I mean, he's really be great to get him, that's for sure.
When you watch the tape, what kind of stood out to you? I mean, I know you analyze quarterbacks better than anybody. So when you're looking at this
kid, very tall.
Yeah.
So he's got some room to put on some weight for sure. And, you know, good release, big arm, athletic, and move in the pocket. Always like a guy that plays basketball, just like a lineman that runs track, you know, or throws a shot put or disc, shows his quickness across the ring there, you know, the things that they can do. Almost got hit with a shot, but put 1976 down in Goldsboro, North Carolina, watching the state track meet. Mike Salzano was a kid from Northern Durham High School that we were recruiting in North Carolina. And both his mother and his dad went to Duke. His dad was a professor at Duke, and we had no chance, supposedly, but we worked him hard. His sister went to Carolina, and she was helping us, but almost got hit with a shot put. But I never will forget the day that I was in their house, and he told his mom and dad that he was going to come to Carolina. I thought I was going to have to call 911 because both of them had a complete heart attack right then, and they were going to have to. We had to explain, and his dad said, Coach, if you don't mind, could you just leave? We're going to have a family visit here. And about an hour later, they called me back, and they said, well, you know, we had no idea that he was going to do this, but we want our son to be happy. Guy was all conference. He was a great player. But that's a good story about never, just because the kid's parents went somewhere doesn't mean they're going to not go to your place. But
that's true. I always think back to Rashawn Evans. His entire family went to Auburn. He went to Auburn. Everybody in that whole family went to Auburn. One of them going to Alabama.
David Green, same thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. I want to take a quick break here, and we'll talk more about quarterbacks. I mean, we have the current one, the one will be next year, the Ryan Puglisi superstar later on, then Matt Zollers, Jared Carranza. Hell, we didn't even touch on Juju Lewis. We'll save him for another week. But what you need to touch on is our friends over at Athens Ford. Check out their mobile service. Now, if you are within 20 miles of Athens Ford, which is a huge area, and you're like me, you're like, hey, I need to see a little dust, brake dust coming out on the tires there. I need to get those brakes looked at. Well, you can reach out to Athens Ford, and they will drive out their mobile van and check out your brakes. They will check out your tires. They will check out the filters. They'll do an oil change. They'll change out your battery, tire rotation, replace the wipers, software updates, recalls. You know, you get a notice in the mail, hey, there's a recall. They can take that care of that for you. So it's a really neat system because you could be at work and then have them come out and do your oil change. So you're not like, man, I got to rush home and get the oil change before we go on a drive this weekend. You know, do it while you're at work or have them come to your house while you're, if you work from home. Check them out. I think you'll absolutely love the service. It's just a great idea. And I'm probably going to call them and say, hey, look, you know, come check out my brakes for me. Couldn't hurt. Come when you get a chance. Now, I also want to mention our friends over at YourPi. They had their top sellers, you know, and they had the Lineage, the Great White, the Barbecue Chicken Bacon Ranch. They've had the Peach and Prosciutto. They've had a ton of them. But, of course, my favorite is the Build Your Own. You walk in, you tell them what kind of crust you want. They even have low-carb crust, which I didn't know was a thing, cauliflower crust. Then you can get your different sauces, tons of different ones, all the different cheeses, all the different toppings. They'll toss it into an oven. By the time you're done getting your drink, paying for everything, sit down, read the first couple headlines on the dog vent, they walk up, there's your pizza, it's ready. And the cool thing is, if you go in the store, it's great, but even if you don't, if you order online, if you have an order of over $10 or more, right now, you get free cheese sticks. So the cheese sticks are great. They're better than the I'm not even going to shoot down some of their competitors. I won't even name them to give them the point of day, but or the time of day. But I've had cheese sticks from some of these other places. They're garbage. You'll love the ones at EuroPie because they make them right there in front of you. You'll absolutely love it. So check them out when you get a chance.
Coach, I want to run some potential playoff scenarios by you. A few weeks playoffs. Ago. Oh, hey, little Jim Mora.
Hey, that guy was a classic, but the first time I ever met him in person was after he had said that, and he was out there watching our kids in pro day, and I just saw him over there, and I was afraid he's going to say something, and I was going to laugh, but I didn't. But he was a heck of a coach. You know, a lot of people don't realize he was one of the first coaches in the USFL that got it rolling there with the Philadelphia Stars. He was awesome.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, a few weeks ago, you told us what it's like to coach in a playoff, but I had not really gone through some of the machinations that can happen here. And so I'm going to give you three scenarios, and I just want to know, as a coach, what do you like about it? And then what would you try to stress for your team for that situation? So one is the optimal season. Georgia has gone undefeated. It has won the SEC. It looks a lot like it did 2 years ago. Georgia's the number one team going into this playoff. You get a bye week because of it, because there are games happening before that first round. What do you do in that situation as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, you just say PTL, praise the Lord. I mean, the fact that you won the SEC game and instead of losing it and having to play a game and losing all that you built up during the year, it's just a different scenario now. I mean, you get that out of the way and to know that you've got that bye and you got to – all of us are going to learn a lot about it because we've never seen it. You know, it's going to be these teams hosting games on campus – more games, all that. So the first one, I would just be proud of my team and proud that we get a week off and get a chance to see everybody bash each other around.
All right. Scenario two is Georgia has a really good regular season. Maybe it drops a game, but ultimately it loses a heartbreaker in the SEC championship. But it does leave Georgia in the position to host a playoff game. What do you say to your team? What do you say to your fan base?
Well, you can't really say much to your fan base because it doesn't make any difference what they think. What really counts is your team, and just say, look, you know, we stubbed our toe, but compared to the year before, we get a chance to keep playing. We're not knocked out. And what we got to do is reassess where we are and understand it's going to be a tougher road than what we had. But at the same time, you know, everybody's capable at this point. And, the last time somebody beat Georgia in our stadium, Roddy was in high school in Conyers. But so that's a big advantage for you.
That's only a couple years ago.
Yeah, playing at home.
I was mainly meaning, what do you say to the fan base to rile them up to make it where that home atmosphere is what we've seen?
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were talking about apologizing to them and all that. But,
that's the coach right there.
screw the bastards.
I'm just saying, you know, I think Kirby does a good job of saying, hey, we're going to need the crowd. We're going to need you loud. We can't take anything for granted. You know, every game counts, and it's a chance for you to come to one more game at Sanford Stadium and come in there and make the most of it.
And the third scenario, and it may be slightly a blend, but Georgia's going to play Texas in the regular season this year. Let's say that those two teams meet up once again for the SEC championship, Georgia versus Texas, but they split that series, so each one wins one. They end up playing for a third time in the playoff. Now, that's something that we haven't seen before, playing a team three times in the same season. What do you do in that?
I mean, that's going to be a brand new scenario, really, particularly if you split. I mean, you know you're capable of beating them, but you know they're capable of beating you. And people say, too, when you beat somebody out here in basketball, well, we've beaten them two times, it's hard to beat them three. I mean, once you get in, and you see it in the NFL with some of these situations, you know, like the AFL teams, like the Chiefs playing the Bills more than, you know, and whatever it might be. But you just got to understand, when you get into a championship level playoff situation, we got to take care of what we can do. The only thing we can control is UGA. We got to avoid losing. We got to contend. By that, I mean, we got to eliminate the mistakes that plague a really good team sometimes. And we've got to work as hard as we can on being healthy, but also being in condition to be able to go through this Burma road of all these games, because, you know, the travel involved, the pressure of the games, all of that is going to increase because you're going to have more games and they're going to be more intense. And so you got to kind of pace yourself as far as your physical and mental conditioning.
When as much as the expanded playoffs could create some of those rematches, I think it's really the lack of divisions in the conference that makes this change as much. We saw Georgia play Auburn twice in 3 weeks in 2017. But when LSU and Alabama, that year that they ended up playing for the national championship, and that was even pre-playoff, that situation now in the conference, they would have likely played each other at the end of that SEC
season. Right,
right. So lack of divisions, I think, is what's going to create kind of this – situation where you may play two or three times.
Yeah, and what we like, I'm not speaking for anybody in particular from Georgia, but what you like is the fact with a 12-team playoff, you can stub your toe and lose during the regular season or lose in the SEC championship and still have a chance to compete for the national championship. I remember several years ago, North Carolina, I think 2017, started out the ACC basketball deal, and they were 0-2 after two games. Well, they ended up winning national championship in basketball.
Yeah,
because they were able to get on a roll at the end. But in sports, and you see it, you see the momentum that NC State Go Pack has in basketball. That
I knew he was going to do this, Roddy. I knew he was going to mention the Pack.
One, well, I don't get to do it, but every 7 or 8 years, so. They really did, you know, take advantage of a situation. That guy missed that free throw against Virginia, and that O'Connell kid hit that long shot, put him in overtime. And you talk to your team all the time about whatever play you got to make it, because it might be the outcome of the game. So I just think working on your team's mental part was what we worked really hard on at Marshall, about doing as much as we could, mental reps, and assuring our team that deep down that we knew how to play in these championship situations, and how we're going to handle it was critical to our success.
I think back to a couple of those Mark Richt teams, definitely the one that played Hawaii. And
07.
How they just got better as the year progressed. I mean, it was just – by the end, but of course, there'd been one slip up. Usually it was a loss to Florida or, you know, something with Tennessee. You know, your teams too. By the end, Nobody freaking wanted to play them. They were scared to death of them. They were mean, right. You know, and it's like, I understand people, well, the playoffs take away from the regular season. I don't like being second week of October knowing the damn season's over. It drives me crazy. So
I think this playoff scenario is long overdue just because there's so much equity now in college football. And now with the Big Ten and SEC having the majority of the good teams, it would be tragic to just have 4-team playoff, because you know that it's going to be, I mean, it's not going to be impossible, but very hard to go through the regular season and a championship game unscathed. I mean, with all these teams you're playing, and nobody does it at the NFL. I mean, nobody's done it since the 72 Dolphins. And, you know, it's hard to win every game. I mean, come on.
Well, the playoff system will reward the depth of a program, because you can be the best team in September and October, but that doesn't mean much. That what are you going to be in January between injuries and just people being committed to it? I mean, it's a long season at that point.
Right after Smart's Alley.
And because of NIL and the portal and all, teams aren't going to have a lot of depth. I mean, they're going to have some players, but they're not going to have veteran guys in backups. I just think, what's the day? April the 3rd? April 16th? Man, you talk about chaos. I mean, it's going to be – how do you decide who to keep, who to pay, what do you do? I mean, come on, that's going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of roster management in between April and May with these guys. Wow, it's going to be unreal.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors going around that some of the biggest names in college football are about to hit the portal. And I'm like, if I'm a big name, I don't say you threaten to hit the portal, but you're like, hey, I'm thinking about it. What's the downside? Is the coach going to cut you? Hell no, he needs you. But all of a sudden now, you know, you were making 10 grand a month. Now all of a sudden you're like, they're scrambling to find you another 10 grand, another 20 grand. Another school's like, hey, we've got it. Come here. In other words, there's no downside to quietly. You don't have to do it publicly. You can do it quietly. Right. Hey, I'm thinking about hitting the portal.
Right. I want to have a good grasp.
Well, you can hit it, and you don't have to stay. You don't even have to
put your name in it. Just tweet out. You're thinking about
the agency and football. See what's out there for you, and you know, make your team pay you. Now, I'm not saying that's what these kids should do, and somebody quote me on that. But I mean, the reality is, that's what I said on the get-go here. On April 16th, gonna be complete free for all. And people are gonna say, why in the world did this kid leave, or why didn't you keep him? Hey, send some money to collective, and we might. By that, I mean, we've had some really good input from some people over the last year or so that have listened to our show, that have done a good job of coming on strong and helping our collective. And if you've got any tax write-off you need coming up or whatever, DM Roddy and he'll put you in touch with me, and we'll figure out. But we need, I'm just telling you right now, we're in the crisis mode here. To read the notes from Kirby talking to the Athens Touchdown Club, I mean, there's a lot of money out there that these schools are putting, and we're trying to match what we can, but you know, where we're going to get it, I don't know.
Some of these players just better know their own value, though, because there's some of these, they go to a head coach and they say, I'm thinking about entering the portal. The coach is going to say, oh, thank goodness, please do. Get on out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a few, but the demand is outstripped the supply. Definitely the University of Georgia. I don't know if it's that way everywhere, but I can tell you the University of Georgia, the market value for Georgia players is high. They know that they're
well. They know how to work. They got good discipline. Yeah. But I also think that for our fans here, these kids, if you just look at when a guy enters the portal, usually the next day he's at another place. And that wasn't because they had a miracle that night in all these schools. Hey, there's people working these guys back door, and it's not right, but that's the way it is. I mean, these guys got agents that are brokering them, and the agents got every reason to try to get them out there because they're getting a percent of it. So
you're right. We actually, talking to a sophomore kid the other day. We wanted an interview with him. His parents said, well, we'll let you talk to his representatives.
Are you talking about a high school guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised there. And that's the thing about it. These kids are so much further down the road on NIL than they were 3 years ago. They know how to market themselves, and it's a tough deal.
Yeah. I got nothing against it. I'm just like, hey, if I consider myself a professional, then I should have an agent. You know, I'd love to have an agent negotiating my next contract with rivals. Like, hey, you know, come up there, give me the best deal. You know, tell them I'm thinking about leaving. You know, I'd get the idea, but.
Yeah. I mean, I saw they interviewed Caitlin Clark the other night, and this is before the game or something. They're talking about, you know, all the different things that she's doing and all. And she said, hey, I don't even get involved in all that. I just have somebody handling it. You need to talk to them. So
that's it. To your point, I did ask Kirby, I said, how much tampering is going on? And I thought it was one of the funnier things he's ever said. He's like, look, I'm not the feds. I don't have these kids' phones tapped, but when they come to me, they have a plan.
Right.
And I said it was a brilliant answer. And I know a lot of people thought I was kissing ass when I said that. And I'm like, no, it is brilliant because you're able to say there's tampering without tampering by saying they've got a plan when they come to me. And he thought it up on the spot within seconds of me asking the question. I'm like, oh man, that was good. That was a good one, Kirby. You got me. All right. Speaking of good, when you get a chance, I want you to run out to our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They've always got their great stuff going on. This Saturday, they've got the Cars and Coffee. It's going to be a great car show. And you can get coffee out there because it's on a Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. this April 6th. Great food, great drinks, amazing cars. It's a car show at a brewery. What the hell else do you want? It doesn't get any better than that. So check them out when you get the chance. And when I say good food, this week's special, Coach, maybe we need to go out there for dinner. Chef's choice of a T-bone steak sautéed in garlic butter and white wine served with your choice of two sides. So, and then like Monday through Thursday, they have 50% off apps, 25% off apps from 5 to 6, $5 kill the keg, and rotating cocktail specials. There's always fun stuff going on at Academia Brewing Company. But right now, you go out there and get T-bone steak and great beer and a car show. So hit them up when you get the chance. Not too shabby. Now, if you think that's a great business idea and maybe you're like, hey, I'd like to open my own Academia Brewing Company, or you just want to open your own franchise, reach out to Andy Ludecky at myperfectfranchise.net. He will work you through the process. And people who don't understand what he does, it's basically, if you're looking to start your own business, there are great business models out there that work. They're called franchises. So it starts with a phone call. You call Andy and he talks to you. He's like, hey, what are your goals? What do you want to do? You know, how much time do you have? What are you looking to get out of it? And then he narrows it down from there. Then you find the franchise that fits your lifestyle. You know, he's not going to start throwing businesses at you. He's like, let's talk about what you want, how you live. What works for what are you keeping your current job? Is this on the side? Are you going to drop your current job, get out of the rat race, and do something else? Then that opens up this possibilities. Once you have the franchise concept that fits your lifestyle, then it's time to match you with the perfect franchise. None of this costs you a dime. Andy Ludecky takes care of it. MyPerfectFranchise.net takes care of it. They get paid by the franchisee, or the franchisors, the people who are putting out the franchise. So you don't have to pay for any of it. A lot of our subscribers have worked with Andy. They are successful. They have their own businesses. You can do it as well. It's not complicated. Just reach out to him.
I'm told Coach Donner has a joke for the end of the show, but before we get there, we have some questions from UGASports.com. First, from The Chosen Dog. This is a three-word question. Ellis Robinson update?
The Chosen Dog. Okay. That's it. You know, I can't really speak to except what I've seen from listening to Kirby say that, you know, first of all, you just look at the tape of him in high school, and then I saw him here. I mentioned when we were doing some work for the bowl game, and I told you he was jumping up there right away covering the receivers. He wasn't, you know, he was right there doing it. So I would say he's got a really good shot at helping us in a lot of different ways this year, particularly special teams. But, you know, we got some good guys there. I mean, you know, you're talking about Everett and Humphreys and, you know, Harris. I mean, these are good-looking kids.
This question from Bulldog Ice. Why did Alabama have success against Georgia in the SEC championship game? And also, what team on Georgia's schedule scares you the most and why? I always enjoy your knowledge, jokes, and stories.
Well, thank you. I think just because situationally they out-execute us third down. They got us off the field a couple times. Third down, they kept the ball. They took advantage of a turnover and field position. They made a field goal. We missed one. All the situations went their way. And ended up being as much as what we didn't do, as much as what they did do. And they did enough to win. As far as who is the biggest threat to me going into the year would be Texas, just because of playing in Austin, knowing what they got. And Alabama could be somebody too, because as I've mentioned before, I think they will really profit from this upcoming portal, because they lost some really good players, but all the guys that Roddy were talking about that might be leaving some of these good teams see the championship potential going to Alabama, and they have a lot of openings. But I would say Tennessee and Ole Miss, Texas and Ole Miss, that orange got on my nerves there, orange. That was terrible when Tennessee was playing Texas. I couldn't even look at it. So,
or that bowl game when they had Clemson.
Oh, yeah. So here's the point, though. Texas out there, be tough. Ole Miss certainly has done well in the portal, and they'll be a threatening team. But, you know, everybody that starting the year out at Kentucky, be a tough game. We always have a hard time up there. They got their quarterback, knows our defense. It'll be a real challenge.
I mean, I see what
I don't know if I can do that, that watch along show. For the Kentucky game.
Where are you going to go?
I'm going to go up there and bet the races.
Go ahead. We might miss that Clemson game too, because hard not to go over to the Dome. But what we got next?
The next question from UJ Alum 95. So is Nick Saban still running ESPN in college football? Because Alabama's spring game is on big ESPN and G-Day ain't even on PBS. Not to mention that some of the Big Ten spring games are going to be on Fox's main channel.
Yeah, I just think a couple of things here. Obviously, it's a big deal because Nick's not there and they got a new coach. And so the intrigue is going to be around a lot of people wanting to watch what Alabama looks like without Coach Saban there. I mean, that's just – you're playing to the crowd there. As far as Georgia, our game's the same day as the Masters. You're going head-to-head with that. You know what? Put a lot. You're not going to beat the Masters as far as, so stream it. That was why if I was ESPN, that's probably what they're doing. But – you know, I can see why they might be doing it from that perspective. But at the same time, Georgia should be on one of them for sure. I don't know why we're not.
This question from Chris Landino, and it gets into some of that chaos and roster management that you were referring to that's coming later in the month. Heading into the spring portal window, are there any positions that you expect Kirby and Georgia to focus on if the right player were to become available? Also, are there particular positions on the team that you expect to see departures when that window opens up?
What's the last part?
Do you expect there to be certain positions where Georgia has players leaving the roster for the portal?
Yeah, I mean, in an all-encompassing answer and being as candid as I can be, I think the flexibility that we're going to have to show based on who we lose as much as who we need, because you got to balance it up. So there's going to be – you got to look at not only – I wouldn't think many first-team guys would be leaving, but a really good second-team guy that's vying for a first-team job and is close might be going somewhere, and you got to replace that with somebody pretty close there because of the injury situation. So there's a lot to be thought about there over the next month or so. So It's a very good question, but I think it's a chicken or the egg type deal. I mean, who do we lose? But you're always going to take a good player if he's available. I mean, you got a chance to get a difference maker. You're going to go for him.
I just can't imagine.
Could we have that question on the vault the other day? Is like, will Georgia be active finding some defensive linemen in the portal? I'm like, well, right now there aren't any that are just difference makers. But come April 15th, 16th, there might be one. So right now, you want a Jalen Carter, you can't get him.
Yeah, here's the thing that worries me, coach. Here's what happens. How much are you willing to pay what Ole Miss paid for that guy and make some of the promises that they made to him? Which we can't say on the air, but, you know, you have to go to school at Georgia, you know. I mean, you have to do a lot of things. And I don't know what all was involved in the Ole Miss guy, but I think there's kind of a misnomer there because we didn't stop the run that great against Alabama, that we weren't great in the defensive line. We were good, but we didn't have the first-round guy like we had the two previous years. But I think – the other thing that hurt our D-line was the injuries to our linebackers. Dumas Johnson went down. Small Munden had a fracture in his foot the whole year. So you didn't have those guys making those plays that you normally would to make up for if a guy gets blocked at the line of scrimmage. You know, and you're going to get blocked. You're going to get double teamed. You're going to get trapped. So you add all that together, the results of our defense were pretty good, but I feel like because Alabama made some – and, you know, you look at Alabama's rushing in that game, less than 200 yards, wasn't it?
Well, Coach, there's a viral clip of one of Georgia's defenders. I think it might have been Nazir Stackhouse. He's engaged with a center or a tackle, and then a guard chips him and knocks him to the ground. Everyone's like, oh, they were just throwing our guys around. Yeah, you got knocked down on a double team. Congratulations. Oh. You know,
yeah, that's good for you to see that because you can see – I mean, I watched Scottie Scheffler miss a 3-foot putt the other day. I mean, he's the best player in the world, but it happens. But he felt like he needed to make that guy happy and win one tournament, I guess. So,
I want to talk about the thing that concerned me, and you touched on right there about are you willing to pay what the other school is willing to pay? Are you willing to tell them, hey, we got somebody taking classes for you. You don't need to worry about going to class. We'll do it all online. It's okay. There's a lot of promises that are made. I'll put a hypothetical to you that kind of incorporates what you talked about. Georgia has three fantastic guards, Micah Morris, Dylan Fairchild, Tate Radlidge. They've got two guard spots. So let's say that the Micah Morris or Dylan Fairchild, one of those two guys, is like, you know, I'm that second string guy that who's could play just about anywhere else as a first teamer. I'm in the fight of my life. I'm going to go to Kentucky and play there. Okay. Kentucky says, look, we got 20 grand a month, you know, in NIL for you. Come on up. You're going to be the face of this company. Now Georgia has to find another Micah Morris, another Dylan Fairchild, another Tate Radlidge. Almost impossible.
After losing an Austin Blasky to UNC.
Yeah, and but then you couldn't match the 20 grand offer, so now you're going to try to get one of those guys for less money. Then, you know, it's just
– I mean,
Coach, when you said those second string guys who could go elsewhere, it becomes a war. It is an absolute war.
Right. And you just got to look at it kind of like the NFL does about – you see some of these guys going to other teams. You saw Tyreek Hill go to Miami from the
Chiefs.
But they just weren't – you can't upset the apple cart as far as how much is a guy going to make and all that. But I do feel like from a Georgia perspective, and this is kind of winning for the Gipper type deal, there's a lot to be said – about being on a team and being a Georgia kid.
Yeah.
And even though you're maybe not starting, but you're playing a lot as compared to going to an unknown deal that you've never even thought about, or you don't know anybody on the team and all that. So there's still some teamwork involved and some loyalty, I think, with our players. I really do.
It is. We do focus, to your point, we do focus a lot on the guys that leave. It's the same. We've had a bunch of people recently say, well, I'm not going to follow recruiting anymore because all it takes is a big bag of cash and they flip. Yeah, it does happen. But if you go back and look at last year's class.
Anybody says that, wouldn't they take a bonus from somebody and go get another job?
True, but their point is, I'm not going to follow the blow-by-blow in recruiting because I'll just wait and see, you know, who's announced on signing day. And I'm like, okay, you can do that. But you also miss out on the 85% of kids, 90% of kids who commit and stay committed the whole time. Ellis Robinson. People, you want an Ellis Robinson update? This kid committed to Georgia, five-star, number one cornerback in the nation, stayed committed the whole time, never wavered. You're going to sit there and miss all of his updates and all of his practices and all of his interviews and the All-American games because, somebody might commit at the last second, snatch him up. Don't be an idiot.
Good point. But here's the deal. Usually when a five-star guy commits, his deal's pretty much in place. So I'm just kind of saying Ellis. And, you know, talking about Ellis, I read where IMG is considering moving their campus to – Birmingham Southern, because Birmingham Southern's dropping football and they've got, you know, good complex over there. And, you know, it'd be a lot more centrally located than as compared to being in Florida. So let's see if that happens.
Let's also not pretend that cash has never exchanged hands in recruiting's pre-NIL.
No, they knew that too, but it was, they feel that now it's just not worth getting excited about the possibility of a kid coming to your school. But like Jared Curtis, you know, Matt Stafford arm, he's a sophomore, he commits, and they're like, well, I'm not going to follow it because Dylan Raiola flipped. Well, yeah, well, Ryan Puglisi didn't. You know, Carson Beck didn't.
People are going to flip for different reasons. It's just
Are you still pissed about KJ Bolden flipping from FSU on signing day?
Yeah.
I don't think you're upset about that.
We got it good. You know, Jim Harbaugh, who's got it better than us, really?
Final question. This is from Stick D's on YouTube. What elements are holding Tyler Williams from emerging as an elite wide receiver at Georgia?
You know, he's come in here and he's gotten some big shoes to fill, a lot of competition out there. We brought in some transfers. Basically, when you look at the two last year and then three this year at wide receiver. So, he's definitely got a good catch radius, doesn't have overwhelming speed. It's going to always be a possession type guy. We'll just have to see. But you never give up on ability, and he's fighting it hard.
And him and Colby Young are the first two guys you see when you look at that wide receiver group. They're just giants.
Right.
All right, Coach, you got a joke for us?
Yeah, I do. This lady calls up to her son, said, hey, it's time to go to church. And he doesn't answer. So she goes up and knocks on the door and said, look, we got to get going. You got to go to church. And he said, give me a reason why I need to go. And she said, I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, I'm your mother and I'm telling you to go. Number two, you're 52 years old and you're living with your mother and you need to get your ass out of bed. And number three, you're the pastor.
That's a simple one, but I love it.
I'm 52, so I thought, oh crap, is this a joke at my expense? I thought he set me up. I'm relieved and laughing. So it's a win.
I didn't see that punchline coming. I like that one.
Well. You know, I think one thing that our fans should do, they listen to the show and they give you all kind of reasons to listen and all, but if they want me to eliminate the jokes, I'll be glad to. But the one thing that I enjoy, I don't have anybody to tell them to, so I like to tell them once in a while when I think I got a good one. But, hey, this is football related, so put up.
Hey, if we have to give up the jokes, I'll just give up the show. There's no point in doing it.
I mean, that's half the point of the dog vent, right? Is we want to tell jokes, talk football. They get both.
Again, folks, if you're not a member of the dog vent, try it out. The collective wit of those folks is unmatched. They are funny, man. They are just, there's a reason it's been around since 1997. You know, there's a reason it's almost 30 years old. It's just the humor on the dog event is unparalleled. Georgia folks are funny. Southern men tell better jokes. I'm just telling you. So, and the Southern women, they're riots too. So check them out. Check out the dog event when you get a chance. Check out UGA Sports. I mean, that's the reason we're here, is to promote UGA Sports. Well, that's the reason I'm here. Coach Donnan's here to promote Kirby Smart and talk about all the good stuff that goes on over there. So we appreciate his time.
Why am I here?
Because I don't know what buttons to push. If I could figure that out, you'd be off the show in 15 seconds. So, that's why you're here. Don't overvalue yourself there, producer. And we value all of you for tuning in each week. Maybe next week, there's not a Kirby Smart press conference next week at noon. His press conference will actually be after G-Day. So we're not going to talk to him at noon next week. So hopefully we'll be back to our regular Bat Time and Bat Channel Tuesday at noon. We will see you then. Until such a time, take care.